This free journey that we're in is not just something that's happening here at Crosspoint. In fact, there's three other churches on the north side of Indianapolis that are going through the same experience, same things, talking about the same things we're talking about here today. And so we're doing some collaboration. And this Friday, we have an experience that we're all kind of going in on. And Northview Church over in Carmel at 131st and Hazeldell Parkway is hosting what's known as a prayer experience. And this is something that it's not where you go when you kneel down in a room as you think of like an old prayer meeting, if that's familiar to you. This is where you go, and this is going to be a full experience where you go, and it's going to take you a little over an hour. You're going to get an MP3 player to listen to some audio that will guide you through an experience, and you're going to go from station to station, you know, reflecting on some prompts, reflecting on maybe where you are in the journey, what it means for you to take your next steps in the journey, and it's just a powerful, powerful thing. In fact, later in our service today, you're going to hear an interview about how that's been a significant part of others' journeys to date. So there's information in your weekly, and it tells you the dates and the times, the location of the prayer experience, and it's basically Monday through Friday from like 8 in the morning till later in the evening. Anytime during that time, you can catch it on your lunch hour, in the evening after work, before work. There's weekend times as well. We just encourage you to consider that. And also, there's a need for volunteers. If you're interested in helping serve at the prayer experience, this is how it's collaborative. We're trying to provide some people that might serve as a host for 2 or 3 hours over the course of the 15th of October through like the 26th, and just go and invite people, welcome people as they prepare to go through that experience. And if you're interested in that, you can mark that on the back of your connection card, and we will connect you with the people that are coordinating that for us. So a lot of exciting stuff going on. Now, today is going to kind of be a unique experience. In fact, I know you're like, well, that's every week at Crosspoint, right? Because we kind of do things out of the box. But, you know, we're going to do something kind of unique today in the sense that, you know, we are going to have an experience for you where we just want to help God meet you wherever you are today. As we're going through this journey, and so one of the things that's going to happen is the band's going to stay up here on the platform with me today. And, you know, one of the things that's going to happen is, you know, I'm going to teach for a bit, and then I'm going to give you some moments to just kind of reflect and respond and just say, man, is there something that God might want to do in you right now? And then we'll kind of move to a next statement. Because, you know, I know what you're going through if you've been going through this journey. I'm on the journey too. I know what it's like to be journeying through something where you're changing and you're growing and you're moving toward freedom. I know that you're in one of four places right now. In fact, as we go through a process of change, there's four different phases that we distinctively go through. And so today, I just want to kind of coach us through those experiences. Wherever you might be, you're going to be able to identify where you're at, and then hopefully we're going to be able to coach you toward the next step, because this is a critical part of the endurance of continuing to move toward the freedom that we believe that God has in store for us. And I just want to assure you that you're not crazy. Because sometimes when we are going through changes, we begin to feel like, man, this is awkward. I've never been here before. You may have made a decision to make a break from something, and you're in a place where you've never been before, and you're like, man, is this crazy? I mean, maybe I just ought to go back to where I was. And so we just want to kind of help coach you along that process. And so, you know, one of the reasons that we want to do this is we see that God is a God who always is coming and getting us. Meaning he always meets us exactly where we are, and then he helps take us to that next new place. And so the through line through this series has been a verse out of 2 Corinthians. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And freedom is something we're going after. It's not a one-time thing. It's not something we do once and we're finally there. It's something that's a continual process of us engaging in an experience at a deeper level of freedom. And so one of the things that Jesus does, the person of Jesus did for us, was he came and he was a savior. And, you know, sometimes we think of Jesus as the Christ. They didn't really refer to him as that. He came to fulfill a prophecy known as a savior. In fact, he was prophesied that a savior was going to come and free people from things, from strongholds, as we talked about last week, from fortified places in our lives that maybe we've built up or maybe we've bought into lies, and a part of us has been given away, and we don't know what to do about it. Jesus comes and saves us. He comes and rescues us from those things and restores those parts of our lives. And so that's one of the things we see him do, and this is really the message that God champions through the whole scripture. In fact, if you go way back to the beginning, hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus, we see another kind of savior figure. We see another kind of Jesus figure. In fact, in some theological circles, this person's referred to as a type of Jesus. And this person is known as Moses. And you may be familiar with Moses. You might know him as Charlton Heston. That's another name for him. But, you know, Moses was a savior figure. He came to physically save the people of Israel from this bondage, from this slavery that they were in, and to put them in this place of freedom. And so, you know, one of the things that we realize is that whenever we go toward freedom, there's always a journey. It's always a journey that we go through, and there's different stages that we go through as we approach this freedom. And so, you know, one of the visuals that I want you to consider today, we've been giving you a visual each and every week, and this isn't as violent as last week's. is this caterpillar that I'm holding right here in my hand. This is a caterpillar, and I want you to think of a caterpillar because, you know, this little guy, you know, all he's known is crawling around leaves, eating leaves, crawling along branches, at times crawling with his belly along the ground, and his whole existence has been in this place. And you think, you know, you and I know there's more to this caterpillar than just crawling along the ground, just crawling and eating and munching on leaves every day. And at some point in this caterpillar's life, most likely it will come to a point of saying, hey, I'm tired of crawling, I'm tired of just eating leaves, it's time for me to go to a next new place. And this caterpillar will have to decide, you know, there's more than just the ho-hum of today, the mediocrity, the status quo of what I've always known, because right now this caterpillar, believe it or not, is in this stage known as the blahs. All right, so this is the first stage that we often find ourselves in. It's the first step toward freedom, and it's the blahs. And the blahs, you know, is that place where it's that default position that we find ourselves in. And, it's that place where, you know, if we're not doing anything to kind of strategically help ourselves go forward spiritually, or maybe we have no strategic plan for our lives, or we're not doing anything that causes us to do about-face turns and go a different direction, then you are probably in the blahs. The blahs is this place where everything flatlines, where you just have this sense of, man, I thought there was more to life than this. I thought there was more to life than just chewing on branches and eating leaves. You know what I mean? You go to work every day. Is this kind of status quo? Your life is flatlined. There's no passion. There's no joy. You often live out of fear. And so this is the land of the blahs. And this is where the nation of Israel was at when Moses came onto the scene with them. In fact, Moses was this divinely appointed savior. And through a unique set of circumstances, he was born into a nation of Israel family. And through a unique set of circumstances, he was adopted into a home in the Egyptian culture. And he was raised as an Egyptian. He was raised in the home of Pharaoh. And so he had the best of of education that one could find in the world at that time. He had the best of home life that one could find in that time. He was raised with, you know, military strategy. I mean, everything about his life was good. And there came a point in his life where something just snapped within him. Because he realized this nation that I was birthed into is actually the nation that the home that I'm living in, this home of Pharaoh, this nation's oppressing my nation of origin, Israel, and they've made them into slaves. And he said, it's not right for me to live in a home where my nation of origin is in bondage to this people that I live among. And something snapped in him. He did something really stupid. He actually fled to the desert. It was in the desert that God met him right where he was. And he said, Moses, I need you to go back. I need you to go back into the home of Pharaoh. And I need you to begin to free your nation of origin, these people that you came from, this nation of Israel. I need you to free them from their bondage. And I need you to break them free and take them to a new place. And so this is what Moses does. He goes back, and we find some interesting words. In Exodus chapter 5, he begins to realize something as he begins to do what God has asked him. It says, Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." And so Moses realizes something right here. He's like, man, it's hard to take people out of the blahs. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever had a friend that's in the blahs where they're just in that place where their life is flatline? And you're like, man, you have got to go to a new place. It's hard to drag them out of that new place. We go kicking and screaming out of the blahs. I mean, it's like that great old pair of shoes that we have that had holes in them and they're tattered, but they feel really good. You know, even though there's a new pair in our closet, we like the old. We kick and scream when we move out of the stage of the blahs, even though we're in bondage, even though there's things that are holding us down, even though our life really is miserable. We're like, God, there's got to be something more than this. And yet it's familiar and we know it. You know, for some of us, you know, when we're in the blahs, it's just like, this is normal, right? You know, for some of us, you know, we're in that place where we begin to identify what that stronghold is in our life. For some of us, we're like, you know, it's normal, right? That, you know, every night I go home and I have 3 beers or 4 beers and I kind of get that buzz. I'm not plastered or anything, but I just get a buzz and that's normal, right? That's what normal people do. Well, right, it is normal. That is what normal people do if that's a stronghold in your life. Or, you know, somebody else might say, you know, it's normal, right? That, you know, to wish ill on my ex-spouse and to hope that they date somebody uglier than I am, right? That's just normal for me to think things like that, right? Well, yeah, it is normal. That's very normal if you operate out of a stronghold of bitterness in your life. If bitterness is your stronghold, then that's a very normal thought process for you to have. or you know, you might say, well, it's normal, right? I mean, if we fly someplace, Julie and I a couple weeks ago, we flew to a conference and left our kids home. It's normal, right? If we take two different airplanes to the same destination so that if one of ours crashes, our kids aren't parentless, right? They at least have one of us left. That's normal, right? I mean, that's what normal people do. And I'd say, yeah, that's what normal people do if you operate out of a stronghold of fear. I mean, if fear dictates every decision that you make, then you fly on two separate planes because you constantly are afraid of what might happen. You might say, you know, it's normal, right? That, you know, on Sunday evening, I'm just beginning to have this heaviness and I actually dread the next day that I hate going to work on Monday morning. It's normal on Sunday evening to think, man, I have absolutely no energy for my job on Monday, right? I mean, it's normal on Monday to already be working for the weekend, right? Well, that's a very normal place to be, you know, if that's how you've always understood your work. You know, if your stronghold is, there's no passion there, there's no engagement, there's no purpose, you know, there's nothing here. If you've never seen that God maybe has a purpose for what you're doing, then that's a normal thing. You see, this is what happens in the Blahs. We begin to realize, man, you know, the Blahs convince us that everything's normal. It's just ho-hum, status quo, flat line, no passion, no joy, no freedom. And this is the place where, with the caterpillar, you know, they're just sitting here just saying, man, this is normal. I'm chomping on some leaves. I get mad when Kurt pulls me off that plant because this is normal. I like just living here, living a reasonably purposeless life with no joy or no passion. This is normal. And yet there comes a point where this caterpillar says, man, this is the Blahs. I mean, this sucks. I want to move out of this place. I want to go to the next place. And that's why for some of us, we've been getting rocked over this last week. Maybe even today, our lives are going to get rocked a bit because maybe it's time for us to realize, man, we are living in the Blahs. And life is just flatlined for us, and we need to go to that next new place. And if this is where you are, then you know, maybe as you watch these images and listen to these words and maybe even sing them, that you're going to say, man, maybe there's something I want to reach for that's more. Maybe it's time for me to leave the Blahs and maybe you just want to invite God to say, God, help me get out of this place. Help me to move to that next new place. So listen and take a look at the screens. Praying right now, God, that, you know, for some of us, we need that rescue right now. We need to be rescued by you. Because, man, we are in the Blahs right now. You know, we see it. We experience it. We know it well. It's familiar to us. And yet, God, I'm going to ask that you would maybe just help a light bulb to come on this morning for some of us. If this is where we are, God, help us to see that it is a very good day. That it is a day when this does not have to continue to be our reality. But, God, because we can attach ourselves to you. We can tether ourselves to you, and you can take us to that new place. And so, God, I'm going to ask that you or your grace would be just to kind of rest on this place today. And God, help us to take that step to move out of the Blahs. Amen. You go ahead and have a seat. You know, the thing that comes right after the Blahs is what's known as the break. And the break is a really unique phase because, you know, in the break, there's this definitive move towards something, toward freedom. So a definitive move towards something new. And, you know, for some of us, you know, we might be saying, well, man, you know, I need to make this break. And maybe this doesn't look massive in someone else's eyes. But for you, this break is big because it's a place that you've never been before. You've just taken a step when you make the break. When you attach yourself, as we saw a few moments ago, it's when this little caterpillar says, I'm going to attach myself to something that's going to champion my freedom. That's what a caterpillar does. When it chooses to make the break from the Blahs, it attaches itself. And it begins to go through a change. This is a new phase for it. It's a new place for it. It's awkward in this new phase. It's a place where it's driving a stake in the ground saying, hey, I'm going to go somewhere else and I've never been here before, but I'm going to take a risk and move. Now, the nation of Israel, you know, it was unmistakable when they moved, when they decided to walk away from what they had known in slavery, there was a definitive break. I mean, when Charlton Heston, or Moses rather, led them out of you know, Egypt and slavery and over through the Red Sea and up to this mountaintop, I mean, it was a mountaintop experience. They're like, man, we are definitely in a different place than we've ever known. In fact, here's what it says in Exodus chapter 12. It was very defined. It says, now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. In fact, at the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. And so it was 430 years to the day. I mean, they were in bondage. They were in slavery for 430 years. And to the day they remembered, on this day, we definitively turned our back on that. We followed God. We followed Moses. And we were no longer in captive. We were no longer slaves. When you make a move out of slavery toward freedom, you know the day. In fact, if you don't know the day when you made that move, then you probably haven't made a break. You probably haven't had that definitive moment where you've broken from something that you're in bondage to. In fact, if you've ever been in an AA circle, in an Alcoholics Anonymous circle, you know, something happens every time these groups gather. In fact, they go around the circle, and you might hear the first person say, "Hey, my name's Kurt, and I'm an alcoholic," because they remind themselves that I have been in bondage. I have something that takes over a part of my life and holds me down. And then you'll hear them say something like, "I've been sober for 16 days, because they know to the day, 16 days ago, I made a break from the normalcy of my life. Somebody else might say, "My name's Ted, and I'm an alcoholic, and I've been sober for 2,063 days, because Ted remembers that to the day, 2,063 days ago, I made a definitive break." You know, today is a unique day because today is one of 12 days in this century that we're living in where the day, the month, and the year are all the same. Have you ever noticed that? In fact, it's one day in this century that's going to be 10-10-10. And so this is a definitive day. If today you say, "Man, I'm making a break," you'll have a definitive day today to say, "On 10-10 of 10, my life changed. I just began to walk away from the laws, make a break, and reattach myself to something that's going to champion my freedom." You know, something, maybe a break for you would be, you know, when we look at the end of this journey, we're going to be doing something that's going to be a defined break for many of us. In fact, we're going to have this celebration. We're going to hear some of the stories of how people have been set free through this journey. And we're going to also, on that day, on October 31st, we're going to have a baptism celebration. And we're going to have a bunch of people that are going to come, and they're going to get into water, and they're going to symbolize. You're going to say, "Hey, I made a break. I received from God, and there was a break that happened. I reattached myself. I tethered myself to one who champions my freedom. I took the tether off things that tie me down, and I received from God, and now I'm free." And you know, there's something powerful that happens when someone by their own volition just says, "You know, I'm gonna go, and I want to be baptized. I'm gonna get into this water. I'm gonna be dunked, and in this water I'm gonna leave all of my garbage. I'm gonna let this thing be a symbol of what's taking place in my life. I'm gonna go into this water, and in a symbolic way I'm gonna come out of this water with all of my junk, all my trash, all my garbage back in the water. I'm a new creation. I'm totally free." There's something just definitive about that experience. You know, there's some of us that have never taken that step, or maybe some of us that recently have come to receive from God. We've entered into relationship with God. And some of us might be going, "Well, why do I need to be baptized? I mean, isn't it enough for me to believe?" Well, yes, Jesus said, "When you receive from me and you believe, then you are actually set free. You're in relationship with me." I mean, so that's what connects us to Christ. But, you know, Jesus also said, I want you to do as I have done. I want you to follow in my footsteps, and I want you to go through this experience. I want you to go through this water baptism experience, because there's something that happens. There's something definitive about it. There's something that I remember when I declare to myself and everyone else, "Hey, there's something that's happened in my life. All this garbage has been removed from my life, and I'm now free." And some of us are thinking, "Man, I don't know if I really need to do that." Well, and if that's what you're thinking, maybe you've really not made that break. You know, maybe you're not ready to take that definitive step. Or maybe you just don't know Jesus yet, and that's the reason why. And if that's where you are, that's okay. But if you've made the definitive break, you might consider this. In fact, there's a place in the back of your card to mark your interest, if you're interested in maybe declaring that definitive moment in your life here in a few weeks. You know, for others of us, you know, maybe getting into a small group through this journey, that was a definitive break for you, because you've always said, "Man, I'm not a small group person. I don't let people into my life. I've always kind of pushed people away." And so you getting into a small group, that was a break for you, because that was a deviation from your norm. And now you're connected to people, and you're seeing the value of that in your life. You know, for others of us, when we walk out of here today, we're going to have the opportunity to be generous, because we're going to walk down this aisle, and in this box on the table in the back, there's this thing called a joy box. Yeah, and you know, we get excited about the joy box because it's where we get excited about giving, about fueling what God is doing. And sometimes people say, "Why do you guys cheer? Why do you do that instead of just say?" And we're like, "Well, you know, God says He loves joyful givers. We should be cheerful when we give, and so we want to do that." And really, what that is that it's a way for us to invest in what God is doing. And I tell you what, Julie and I, we're at a place in our lives where we are more financially free right now than we have felt in years. I mean, in the 12 to 15 years that we've been married. In fact, you know, over the last couple years, we've developed a plan that we've put into action in our lives where we're less than 2 years now before we are totally debt-free with the exception of our house. And I tell you what, there's something freeing, about knowing you have no financial obligations except, you know, our house, which has still got a mortgage on it. But in less than 2 years, we'll be totally free. And, you know, and it's an amazing place to be. We have not known this kind of freedom in our life before. And it's not just that as we, you know, get our paychecks, we just put it all toward paying down our debt. I mean, we do that. We pay for our weekly expenses, our monthly expenses. But, you know, there's something else that we're generous with what we have. In fact, we've always had a discipline of tithing or giving 10% of our income back to God because God gave to us. Everything we have is God's. And he freely gives to us. He can freely take it away. And he asks us, he invites us to partner with him by investing 10% of that back into what he's doing through our local church, in this point, Crosspoint. And not only do we do that, but 3 months ago, we went through the Crazy campaign. And as many of you did, you know, we challenged this community to say, hey, we want to ask you to give above and beyond the tithe, the law as it is, and maybe consider how you might begin to fuel this greater dream that God has for this community, that we have for moving into a more permanent space here over the next year and a half, 2 years, for us to be in a place where we don't have to load in, load out every week, in a place where, you know, we call our home to build into people. And during that journey a few months ago, Julie and I made a significant commitment over and above what we normally give. And I tell you what, you know, years ago, our goal was what can we earn? How can we earn more? And we've made a shift now to how can we give more of what we have away? And that's been part of the gateway to our being financially free. How can we give more above and beyond away? And I tell you what, we're at a place where, you know, I have never experienced before. It's just a great place to be because we're generous. Some of you know what that's like. You know, when we think about this, when we think about making a break, you know, this caterpillar at some point decides, he says, man, I like this branch I'm on. This is what I know. It's normal. And yet at some point, it makes this definitive decision to attach itself to something and begin to tether itself to one that's going to begin to take it to a new place. In fact, this is the phase, this is the break phase that you see on the screens right now. It's attaching itself. It's saying, I'm going to go to a place I've never experienced before, and I'm going to maybe see if as I do this, I break away from just eating off another plant, another branch for another day, just going through life as I've always known it. I'm going to get out of the blahs. And some of us are there, and we just need to be encouraged in this. In fact, I know many of us are probably in the blahs right now. We need to make a definitive break. And if this is where you are, I want you to be encouraged today. Today is a good day. And so take a look at the screens and be encouraged by a few of these stories here.
We found ourselves in kind of this roller coaster, you know, of, you know, every month, every other month. It was just this emotional up and down of trying to have a baby. We kind of stopped ourselves and said, so what is this about? Is this about us and what we want? Or do we need to be talking to God about what it is he wants for us? We were literally on our last visit to the doctor. We'd kind of been through this and settled on this idea of we're not going to go any further with this medically, at least for some time, because we just can't do this. It coincided with the timing of the Crazy campaign for Crossroads, and we knew we wanted to be involved in that. So we kind of, I don't want to say we dropped the whole idea of having a baby, but we just turned our focus away from what we'd been focused on for so long and said, all right, God, there's this thing going on that seems pretty important, and you obviously want us to be part of that. Okay, we're in. We get through the Crazy campaign. I think it was like 3 weeks later or something like that, Laura finds out she's pregnant. As a result, we were really kind of learning or relearning this idea that, you know, we can't do it on our own, and his way is a better way. Because not only is our prayer answered that, hey, we're going to have this baby, but we've also let go of some other chains, if you will, regarding finances.
When my divorce happened, I realized I wasn't going to go through this again and not learn what God could teach me from it. And I knew that I had to learn something so that my daughter didn't repeat the pattern in her life. What I was hoping for was to see myself as God sees me, perfect and holy and good enough just the way that I am. I always thought that I had to see the whole picture, the whole roadmap. And when I realized I didn't need to, I could just trust that God was going to light up the step in front of me, and I just had to take that step. I became very freeing and very able to just move forward at whatever he wanted me to do. Even though I planned for my future, it could take a whole new route. It could take a whole new journey. And having the freedom to just accept that and to just go where he was leading me to go was the ultimate in that freedom.
About a year ago, really exactly a year ago, during the journey last time, I really got a wake-up call. And it came from a friend of mine who had gone through the prayer experience. And he goes on to say, I was in the prayer experience, I was praying, and I just felt this overwhelming feeling that I had to call you and tell you that you only have to be the best Rob that you can be. That's it. That forced me to really start to examine my life, really look back, and that's how I identified these patterns of me just being overcome with this fear of rejection. I needed, just to be me, I needed to stop striving for doing this incredible cool thing.
God, I'm praying right now, you know, that I know some of us right now, we're feeling the euphoria that comes from the break. I mean, you know, for some of us, we just feel like, man, I made the break, and it feels so good. And then others of us, maybe we're experiencing some pain right now. I mean, the break sometimes creates pain. And so, God, wherever we are, if we've made a break, help us to remember what it was like, what it felt like to take that step. I mean, that step away from the norm, that step away from what we've always known, from the comfortable. And God, I'm just going to pray that you would help us to be encouraged. Help us right now to be encouraged, to realize it's a good day, that we aren't, there's nothing weird about us. You know, we're not strange. We're not crazy, but we're about to get free. We're going through the process towards freedom. Amen. You know, after the break, you know, something happens that you don't expect. In fact, you know, we often think, man, once I make the break, then it's all downhill, right? I mean, everything begins to get easier after I make the break. No, it's not that way. I hate to burst your bubble, but it actually gets harder. I mean, it gets harder after we make the break, because the next phase that we go in, and probably the phase that many of us are in right now, is what's known as the blues. And the blues is when you begin to feel regret or remorse. The blues is when you begin to think back on what you've moved away from, and you long for those days. I mean, you begin to miss it. You know, in the blues, you know, it's a bit awkward for you now. You've made a break, and you're now in this in-between land. You're in this place where, you know, this is new land. It's kind of awkward because you've never walked in this place before. You know, now you may go to a party and you may have realized, man, Jack Daniels really had a stronghold in my life. And now you're at the party and you're walking around and you're holding an empty glass, and you don't know what it's like. You don't know how to perform when there's nothing in your glass. I mean, this is a new place for you. It's awkward, and because this has been such a stronghold in your life. And you're like, man, you remember, like, man, I remember what it was like. Man, I was the life of the party back here. And yet you said, I made a break, and yet it's awkward. You know, it's difficult. I mean, it's a new place for you. Or maybe you realize, man, I've been in the blahs, and I've made a break, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, since I was 13, I have never not been dating someone. I mean, you're an overlap person. I mean, before you'd break up with somebody, you'd have somebody else lined up, so you never were alone. I mean, you had such a fear of rejection, such a fear of being unaccepted that you know, you couldn't break up without having asked somebody else to go out with you, because you have such a fear of rejection. You're beginning to realize, man, rejection, being unaccepted, has a stronghold in my life, and even the relationship I'm in right now. Man, maybe I need to make a break from it, and I just need to allow God to bring some healing to me before I run to the next one. And so maybe, you know, you need to make a break from that. But you know what? The blues set in. I mean, before long, the holidays are coming, and maybe a birthday comes, and you've never been alone on those days where you're not in relationship. I mean, the blues are hard. The blues are that point that kicks in where, you know, we aren't quite yet to the blessing, and yet, you know, our new muscle fibers haven't developed. We haven't kind of got that sense of, we know how to operate in this land. It's kind of that in-between land. It's that place where, you know, every change always feels this way. I mean, it always feels like a failure when you're in it. Every change we go through, we end up in the blues, and it feels like we're failing. It's kind of like borderland. It's like the in-between. And in the new phase, the blessings haven't kicked in, and we're just enduring right now. Now, You know, something really cool that's been happening is I've been going, you know, through this journey myself. As I'm out in the community, I see people with their journals. I go to, you know, my kids' preschool, and people are on the journey. And, you know, the first question I'm asked is what color are you? Anybody else been asked that question? You know, what color are you? And, you know, we try really hard not to pigeonhole people. We try really hard not to categorize you. And yet, if you've been tracking through this orange guide, you went through some experiences, and it kind of helped you identify what color you are. And, you know, there's hundreds of things you could be in as a fortified place in your life, or a stronghold, and yet there's four distinct ones that the journal helps us see. And just out of curiosity, I just want to do a little survey right now. How many of us here today are red? How many of you are red? Your anger, your that's a big dominant thing. Let me see your hands really high. You have a lot of bitterness in your life, and you know, red. Yeah, you're angry that I am asking you to raise your hand right now. I know you are, and I know if you're sitting next to somebody that's red, don't talk to them. They're probably mad at you. You probably did something. All right, just wait till later. Right. All right, so everybody has some red. All right, anybody in the room that was blue? Let me see a blue. I'm a blue. I'm a high blue, and I know those of you that are blues right now, you're sitting there thinking, man, I could do a better job than Kurt, because you always think you're better than everybody else. You're like, yeah, I could do that. I mean, that's what blues naturally normally do, right? All right, and how about yellow? Any yellows in the room? Whoa, yeah, yellows, dominant color right now. A lot of yellows, you know, keep your hands up. Yellows, yellow is unaccepted. Yellows struggle with being rejected. So let me just say to you, you are not welcome here. We want you to leave right now. We do not want you here. There we go. You know how you know you're a yellow? Because you were just offended by my joke right there. Because when I said that, you're like, oh, again, I'm unaccepted. You know, any greens in the room? Anybody that deals with fear? Yeah, and you're fearful of what I'm going to say about you right now. I know you are. You're like, oh, do I raise my hand? You know, it's interesting. I mean, it was interesting with the yellow was the dominant one. I have a lot of thoughts about why maybe being unaccepted, rejected was the dominant one that many of us are wrestling through. But you know, it's really cool when we actually see, when we're actually able to identify where we're at, some of the things that have been tying us down. But what's interesting is the blues hit. Begin to work on it, and the blues set in. We don't want to work on it anymore. We're like, man, this is hard. It's painful. You know, we're almost like, I'm going to throw this book in the trash. I'm tired of this thing spanking my butt every day. I'm tired of going to my small group because the blues are hard. I mean, this is what happens to the Israelites in Exodus chapter 16. They make the break. They leave. They leave this slavery. They get to the other side of the Red Sea, and notice what they begin doing right here. I mean, great things were just happening. It says, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There, we sat around pots of meat and ate food we wanted. But you, Moses, have brought us into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Have you ever noticed that when you're in the blues, everything's exaggerated, right? Everything's terrible. Everything's the worst it could possibly be. You know, the blues set in. And, I mean, these guys are like, man, Moses, you're the worst. I mean, slavery was better than freedom, in case you're wondering. I would rather you just brought us out here to starve us to death. At least when we were in slavery, we had our paninis and our soup. It's like sitting in Panera even though we're in slavery, right? I mean, that's what's going on here. Notice, you know what's unique about this is notice what just happened in these Israelites' lives. They had just come through the Red Sea. They just had this mountaintop experience. God had just revealed himself. For some of us, we're like, man, if I could see that, I mean, if I could see the hand of God physically at work in the world, and if I could see a miracle, man, I would get rid of stuff in my life. I would take bold risks. I'd forgive people. Man, if I would see some of the things that these people saw back then, I would get past my old ways. Let me just give you a clear message. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. If you saw things like this, you wouldn't do that. You know why? Because miracles are instantaneous shots. All right, now don't get me wrong. I love miracles. I love when miracles happen in my life. I love when they happen in my friends' lives. But miracles, we see over and over again throughout the Bible, there's no sustaining impact from miracles. You know, what we see in the nation of Israel is the sea just parted. I mean, they just walked through the sea, the bed of the sea, with these large walls of water, and their captors, the Egyptians, are now coming back to re-pursue them, to take them back into slavery. The Israelites get through the Red Sea, and God says, ah, it's a good time to let the water come crashing in. He drowns these Egyptians, these soldiers that are trying to put the Israelites back into captivity. I mean, it's miracle after miracle after miracle, and yet what do? They go out and they're grumbling. I mean, this is how we know that the scripture, the Bible, is believable. Because, I mean, you would naturally think, man, I mean, if you were painting a story that you would want people to believe, you'd say, I mean, these people should be jumping up and down. They'd be excited about the freedom. You know what they're saying? Man, we left our kitchen utensils and our pots and pans back in Egypt. They're grumbling. They're saying, man, it was like Panera back there. This is what happens in the blues. they begin thinking about how good they had it back in slavery. Like, man, we at least could eat. I mean, you brought us to freedom, and we're starving to death out here, God. What are you doing with us? I mean, God's like, seriously, you guys were making bricks for 20 hours a day back in Egypt. I mean, all you ate was as much as you could put on the table. I've got daily food for you out here, and yet you're grumbling. This is what happens when the blues set, and we begin to over-exaggerate. We begin to complain against God. Many of us, we're in the blues right now. God has brought us to this point. We're like, God, what are you doing? Why am I here? And we're just grumbling. Every change, every march to freedom requires this feeling. There's this place where failure, we feel like there's failure right in the midst of it. And that's why right now, some of us, maybe we just feel like checking out of our small group. We're just like, man, I'm tired, it's hard. I'm ready to just be done with it. Let me just tell you, you're not crazy. I mean, if it's feeling awkward, if you're kind of feeling sore right now, if you're feeling a bit of regret right now, that is normal. You're not crazy. That's a normal feeling when you're in the blues, when you're going through this phase of change, because you're leaving behind a whole world that you've known. You've known that world. I mean, you knew what it was like there, and you're in a new place. That's why the writer of the book of Romans says it this way. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world or to the systems of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word renewing there is in the present tense, which means it's this sense of ongoing and repeatedly. Be transformed by the ongoing and repeated change in your life. Now, you know, if you're going through this journal, if you're going through this guide each week, I want to give you a heads up. You are not going to be able to do this week in 30 to 45 minutes. You're not going to be able to sit down in one day for 30 or 40 minutes and do this thing. You're going to need to do this. When you're in the blues, you need ongoing, repeated, daily things that help you see what's going on in your life. So if you have a group early, if you're meeting with a group early this week, you might want to start this afternoon and begin to process some of the things. There's going to be daily prompts for you in here because it's going to begin to identify the patterns of how you're processing through the blues. And, you know, as I think about this, my friend, the caterpillar down here, there comes this moment where he detaches from this leaf and he says, I'm tired of crawling along the ground. I'm tired of just saying this is all there is to life. I'm eating, I'm sleeping, I'm doing it again the next day. I'm going through the blahs. I'm going to make a break from that. I'm going to attach myself. And this caterpillar, as it attaches itself to this leaf and begins to go through this transformation, has this thing known as a chrysalis that forms around it. It's this interesting cocoon. And, you know, it's really fascinating because, you know, this is a very awkward place for that beautiful caterpillar to be. I mean, you can't see its colors. It's very tight. It's confined. It's very awkward. It's never been in here before. And, you know, I don't really know what's going on in this chrysalis. In fact, you know, as I listen, I mean, for all I know, the caterpillar could be screaming in here for the pain it's going through right now as it's changing and growing. I mean, I don't know what's going on in this chrysalis. What I know is that this caterpillar has chosen to get out of the blahs, make a break for freedom. And this stage is a part of what it must go through for it to get to the point of freedom. And for some of us right now, many of us are in the blues right now. We're in that place where we are struggling, and it's awkward. And as you listen to these words and you watch these images, you know, maybe you can relate to this. This is crying out, saying, God, help me move through the blues. So God, you know, as for many of us, as we're in the blues right now, God, I'm just going to ask that you would help us to see, God, that this is not the end right here. I mean, as we go through that blues, it's awkward, it's, you know, it's strange, and yet, God, we know that at the end of the blues, there's this thing called the blessing, and God, we begin to soar. And yet, God, there's no way around the blues. For many of us who are in the blues right now, we cannot get away from them. There's not a quick fix. And there's a temptation to look back on the journey. And so, God, I'm going to ask that you would just send us right now your enduring spirit. Help us to just have the grace that we need to get through another day, another week, another month as we move toward freedom. And I just pray for that for us today, God. I pray that we might see our freedom in the midst of this phase known as the blues. Amen. And so, alas, we get to this place known as the blessing. The blessing, remember the blessing? It's Cousin Eddie from Christmas Vacation, right? We want the blessing. You know, that's what we all want. We want the blessing. That's what we've been waiting for. You know, the blessing is this place where we get to this phase, you know, and we begin to realize that, you know, the blessing is when we begin to experience the fullness, the beauty of freedom is actually happening in your life. I mean, it's this beautiful, beautiful place. And And, it's not just a one-night stand. It's not a whim. It's not a moment. But I begin to say, man, I've moved through, and I see the blessing of where I've been and how significant it was that I stepped away from the blahs and made a break, and I'm through the blues, and I'm experiencing the fullness. I mean, we all want to be there. It's a great place to be. Now, something we have to be aware of when we get to the blessing. Sometimes we think, man, I'm going to get there, and I'm finally arrived. I'm finally there. No, that's why freedom is a journey. Freedom is a journey, and so our journey toward freedom is an ongoing thing. It's this ongoing process of stomping things out of our life that allow us to increasingly be free. In fact, Moses said something about this. He said something real fascinating, because even when people entered the promised land, there were still people in the promised land that had yet to attain more freedom. And Moses says something about this here in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Take a look at what he says. He says, "Do not be terrified by them, for the Lord your God who is among you is a great God and an awesome God. The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little." And so how does he say that we continue to experience freedom? He says little by little. Their freedom came to them little by little. I mean, it wasn't like one day, bam, they're all of a sudden it just arrives and I've arrived and I don't have to worry about it anymore. No, it's this one step after another. Little by little, I experience increased freedom. And then we trek toward this place called the Promised Land, which is the land of blessing. It's a land full of milk and honey where I'm going to live in houses I didn't build. I'm going to harvest grains I didn't plant. I mean, it's this place where, it far outweighs my expectation. Now, I want to say something about this. I have to speak a little reality right here. For some of us, for all of us, we're never going to be done claiming freedom. We're going to claim freedom for the rest of our lives. It's going to be an ongoing claiming of freedom in different areas, different places in our life where there are strongholds. And yet at the same time, one of the hard realities is that there are some of us who are never going to experience fully the freedom that we're hoping for. We're never going to experience the fullness of that. I mean, when you think about Moses was the one championing for the freedom of the Israelites. He's the one that went and retrieved them. He went and got the Israelites out of slavery. He took them to this place where they're free, but he himself never experienced the fullness of that freedom. On the mountaintop, right before they got to the promised land, Moses died. He never stepped foot into that land of blessing. Now, it doesn't mean that he didn't have blessings. He wasn't increasingly becoming free. But the reality is there are some of us who are going to get right to the edge. We're going to feel the freedom. We're going to experience it in steps. We're going to have little by little, but we're never going to get to that place we ultimately want to be, at least in this life. Now, you say, how can that play out? What does that look like? Well, let me give you an example. For some of us here today, we may have come from a long line of childhood sexual abuse. And, there was somebody in our life that messed with us sexually when we were a kid, and somebody messed with that person sexually when they were a kid, messed with the person that messed with them. I mean, it's this long line of sexual abuse. And you may be making a break today. You may say, man, it is time for me to not say, I'm drawing a line, I'm making a break, I'm going to stop this pattern. This is not happening any longer. And you may make a break, and as you make the break, you're going to feel the blues. You're going to go through a season where, even though you've made a break, you're still going to have kind of demons that mess with you, whether it's literally or figuratively. I mean, you're going to have thoughts. You're going to have these haunting things that are going to go with you. I mean, you may have less and less of them as you go forward. You may have experienced freedom from that, but there are still going to be things that you're going to experience where you're not going to experience the fullness of what you hope for, at least in this life. And where that freedom is going to finally come is for your kids, for your family, for the next generation, when your kids don't have to deal with a parent who's dealt with sexual abuse in their life, when your kids no longer have to deal with that pattern in their lives. This is why the Bible talks about there are curses that go on to the second and third generations, because there's certain things that we're going to experience in our lives that take an entire generation to stop or to interrupt or to eliminate before there's complete freedom. And so we go a little further. We take steps and we get out of the blahs. We say, I'm tired of chewing on a leaf day after day and just waking and working and going back to sleep. And I'm going to attach myself. I'm going to move. I'm going to make a break. And then I'm going to move to this phase known as the chrysalis. I'm going to go to this blues phase where it's awkward and it's hard and I'm working and I'm going to keep freedom inside. And even though I want to be pulled back toward what I once knew, but eventually when you get to this land of blessing, an amazing thing happens and you begin to break out of that place and you begin to flutter and fly. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, not some of us have never known what that's like right there. To just be fluttered, to be soaring, to be completely out of the thing that holds me down. I mean, freedom is real. I mean, this phase I coached you through this morning is a very real phase. And wherever you are, God will meet you there, and he will help you experience freedom, because freedom is real. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so one of the things I want you to do is take out your connection card that we signed earlier this morning. On the back are some next steps. And it's really important for us to know where we are. And so there's a place for you to circle, you know, maybe the stage, the phase that you're in right now, and for you to identify, this is where I'm at. This is the phase I'm at. So you know how you can move to the next place. And there's some other next steps here. We're really big on giving you some opportunities to continue to move through the phases toward freedom. And one of those for you might be going to the prayer experience later this week. And that's a significant part of moving you forward. Maybe a significant step for you is being baptized. Maybe you've never had that defined, definitive moment when you said, hey, I've shed all my garbage, and I've declared to myself and others. And so take a moment and fill these out, and remember that God is a jealous God. He's jealous for you. He's a God who comes and gets and takes us to new places.